can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
You can run on for a long time.
You know, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom here, but yeah, the rise of hardcore communists want to abolish the Senate, get rid of most private property. They want to get rid of prisons. They already have the Soros judges and prosecutors that let literal murderers out that, like, kill our reporter. You've got a lot of the young people, a lot of them are really smart, but the others don't even know how to tie their shoelaces. It's a nice way of saying can't find their ass with both hands. And you have the Republicans, like Mitch McConnell's been gone forever. They've got new fake proof of life stuff. They put out fake AI photos of him that are confirmed fake. I mean, the establishment's not even trying anymore. And then you've got all this insanity, and it, and you can see where it's going. And it's not like the normal corruption. This will collapse society. This will start a nuclear war. So, Mark, this is a short segment, long segment, coming up to take some calls. But what else is on your radar screen while for 5-6 months you've been on, you know, radio silence while you were gearing up to launch your new venture where you're the head honcho and you can't be censored as you were over at Rasmussen? It's so sad to hear that, but it's par for the course. That's thehonestpoll.com on X at Honest Pollster. What else is big stuff on your radar? And if Trump got religion and woke up, is it possible for him to turn back 3 months from the midterms and pull his bacon? Or does he realize how the Democrats are going to come on him like the four horsemen of the apocalypse when they win the House and probably the Senate?
Oof. So I just think the window is too small now. And I thought that even it was a challenge back in November. And the advice very much focused on people want to see a plan. People want to see a cohesive strategy that acknowledges the problems that they have. Do not talk to me about affordability. No, I understand that you can't afford things, and here's what we're going to do to fix it. And even then, I thought the window was too small to get all of it done. But the idea is to show that MAGA, combined with the Republican Party, can actually move the ball downfield in a certain direction. Give people a light at the end of the tunnel. I said to him, show people the golden path, not the golden age, because the problems are too big to get us there now. But to get there, it's like the junkie. You have to acknowledge that you have a problem. And our problem is, like, major corporations completely control our government. And the economy, like the trickle-down thing, doesn't work anymore. And we basically have trickle-down tax cuts going on in the MAGA movement. But it's like combined with mass immigration, combined with ridiculous runaway inflation and the ability for large corporations to just get whatever they want, there is really no worker party. And that's what we need, because the problem we have is suppressed wages. They have not been keeping up with inflation. So I said, show the American people that we're going in this direction, and also with the government accountability. Now, the problem is that at this point, if Trump came out and said, well, here's my plan to show that Republicans are going to govern, and here's what America looks like in 20 years.
No one's going to believe it. Government,
nobody's going to believe it. That's 100% it. Nobody's going to believe it. And then you also pragmatically have the problem of, I still don't understand how you extricate yourself from this Iran situation in a way that doesn't in some way, like, just hang over you like a pall. Because even if we walked away now, Iran controls the global energy markets. We still haven't seen the knock-on effects of the fertilizer stuff. And now we're starting to, like, you know, have some friction with China. Like, it's just, there are more problems, not less. And America had major existential, like, problems.
And we're not being negative here. We're admitting, brace for impact. I mean, it's like you drive through a green light and a guy runs a red light and you turn to your wife and say, look out, because, I mean, you're about to get hit. I mean, that's where we are.
Yeah. Well, I want to be optimistic. I'm not necessarily saying that everything, we're not going to be shooting each other and I'm going to be serving in the same platoon as you in the next civil war. Like, I don't think we're there yet. That's obviously a very potential future. But all the fourth turning tells us is that there's going to be a period of political upheaval where people's values change. And I think we're seeing that now, because people's values are changing very much. These younger people, they want to be looked out for. They think they haven't been. They want to step into their own leadership role. They want to build their own institutions. They're sick of the stuff that we have. They want to cast all that stuff away. You can see it when you talk about the World
War II Foundation. Mark Mitchell, this is so important. 60 seconds, let's come right back to this. I was about to go there. We're simpatico.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, about 20 months ago, President Trump was president-elect, about to be sworn in. 19 months ago, and for the first time in U.S. history, because Republicans only came along with Lincoln. Before that, it was the Whigs, the two-party system, Democrats and Whigs. Republicans were the dominant main party, and Republicans were now the party of the working class. All the polls showed it. And that great opportunity has been thrown overboard. So the working class, mainly the young people, are saying, fine, if Trump couldn't deliver, we'll go with Mondabi and AOC. And so in a turning, and this is a mega turning, a fourth turning, and it's here. Nobody can deny it now. The young people want the transfer of power. And they look at the boomers that in inflation did okay because at least their real estate had value. Still not perfect for them. It's hell for young people. And a lot of the young people are dumbed down and mindless. A lot are really smart. The point is that they are going to get very aggressive, and that's what Mark Mitchell was just getting into before we go to calls. And I think for not just boomers, but everybody who doesn't understand cycles, and this is a very well-documented cycle that's now not like we're predicting it. We're now deep into the fourth turning. This is now a proven fact that, yes, it happened. It was like a 98% chance it would, but sure enough, it did. So why don't you explain that to people? You got caught up by the break.
So fourth turning is the concept in history that, you know, most people look at history linear, like this event happened, then this event happened, then this event happened. But in reality, people that are one age during event A are a different age during event B. So if event A for them was a horrifying war where they were troops, then they're going to govern in event B differently than somebody else who might have been old during event A and didn't actually see any action. And basically what happens is you have this cycle then of, you know, weak men create hard times create strong men create good times, blah, blah, blah. And that's actually shown to overlay pretty closely with American history over the last, you know, a couple hundred years. We've had basically a major crisis every 80 years, and those correspond to four different generational turnings. And you could superimpose on this a chart of order in a cyclical sine wave, where basically you have a major crisis like World War II, people have to come together. Then you see a period of high social cohesion, a lot of order, a lot of new institutions and values being formed. That was like, you know, the period between 1940 and 1960, usually goes with an economic positive time, a period of optimism. Then people branch out into individualism, and then the institutions start to erode. And then there's a period where things start to fall apart. People become very individualistic, do their own thing. And then at the end, everything, there's so much lack of order. The values mean nothing. The peak individualism ultimately brings about a crisis that draws people together. But the most important thing is that the people that solve the new crisis are different than the ones that solved the previous crisis, and they tend to reform society around a new set of values. And we are seeing that right now. because these young people do crave order. And I can point to poll after poll after poll. We already did the one where, like, young conservatives under 40 actually want to give legislative control to an AI. Like, that was pretty wild. We had these people were most likely to under 40 voter was most likely to support Trump ignoring judges, were most supportive of his quote that he who saves his country violates no law.
And, yeah, let's say there's a pretty authoritarian streak in the young people because they're hitting the emergency button. And that's why we need to watch out for Mondami, because if Trump wasn't going to deliver it, then we're going to get a communist version of it. That's why everybody better be real concerned, because the globalists call it a liquefaction process. Normally, things are frozen in a status quo for 80 years. Then there is a process where it's unfrozen. You can mold it the way. That's why, for all Trump's warts, I was desperate to get the 1776 thing relaunched, tried to get it branded with him in the first term as that, so people bought into it like Bannon and others. Now he's gone off the rails with Israel First and megalomania. And so people need to understand, it's not just Trump fades off and it's business as usual. Now we have given the revolutionary launch pad to the communists and all of their globalist backers. Mark, is that an accurate statement?
I'm starting to get optimistic about it. I'm starting to not see these gulags and ditches. I really do think that that was an offshoot of the establishment Democrat Marxists, the people under Biden, the capture by the Chinese Communist Party, the very viral reaction to Donald Trump.
No, I agree. There's a big backlash from Bill Maher and everybody else saying communism is a disaster. I agree. So you think there's still enough sanity to reject this?
Well, I just don't see how I can ask a question like this. How important is it for America to maintain the values that inspired the American Revolution? And I'm still getting 74% important among the 18 to 29-year-olds. So I do think these people are authoritarian, but they want a society that works. They want order. They want an economic system that works. Now, they might be fine with pillaging companies and older people, but I don't think that they're going to put them in a gulag. I think that they're trying to correct the sins of the prior generation that took a very good America and gave them crap.
These are the children and grandchildren of hippies, and so you're going to get basically the opposite of hippies.
If the Democrats were smart, they would run a 2028 candidate on exactly Trump's platform. And they could do it, because it's not a conservative platform. They really could. They could just be not insane for once. You already know that there are some economic populists in the Democrat Party. You got your Elizabeth Warrens. You got your Bernie Sanders. Incidentally, Bernie Sanders was polling pretty well against every Republican contender in the 2028 matchups we did. He beats J.D. Vance. And, J.D. Vance beat everybody else. And so there's this aspect of, like, again, like, he's not a real socialist, right? And his policies don't actually work. But what I'm saying is that's where the energy and the desire is. People are sick of this system and they want the system broken. But not because they want to put a boot on your neck. They just want to live like a happy life. And this is some of the first polling that showed us this trend was coming 2-3 years ago.
Sure. And do the boomers not understand that everybody else is about to get the keys?
Fox News isn't telling them that this is coming. So maybe they know, maybe they don't know. I don't know. What I can tell you, though, is that if I spot an inauthentic message in my timeline, it's usually either a Hesperazio bot or a boomer, which is just like, well, these kids need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and hand walk a resume up to the boss at the corporation. It's like they don't understand that these people are like competing against 1,000 other people for one position in the that exists for
the. They don't understand half the tech companies are Indian run mafias. They won't hire unless you're Indian. I'm sorry.
Yep. Yes, that is exactly what happened. And, again, if the Republican Party leaned into scaling that back, and Alex, as you know, that is a major national security threat. We've given up de facto control of almost every single one of our Fortune 100 companies. We've given them a sabotage veto over all of our corporations. If we ever got in a war with India, our economy is cooked. They would just take over every one of these companies or just.
Well, by the way, Indian politicians, and I'm hard over Indians, it's true. Now, they brag, and a lot of them are Muslims, they brag that they basically run us now.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I've seen it happen. Walmart, Sunnyvale engineering buildings, 95% H-1B. You get your HR DEI-focused Karen who wants, a feminized corporate culture. You know, Indian H-1Bs tend to be less threatening and more socially cohesive. And once they get in, there is a very big ethnocentric hiring push. It just happens.
And then 5 years later, they say to the executives, hey, these Karens are a problem. And they kick them out and it's all Indians.
Yeah, that's right. And then they own the C-suite. They get into the C-suite. And I've experienced it. Like, that was my experience in corporate America prior to going to Rasmussen Reports. So anybody, and again, it's not a majority of Americans who have dealt with this, because the H-1B program, people still think, is about bringing America's best and brightest. And so if you are Daddy Warbucks Republican, EGOP donor guy who, you know, is run by the Americans for Prosperity or whatever, right? You could take an unpopular stance and say, like, no, America, I'm looking out for the worker, and this program is unpopular. And even though it was signed into law by a Republican president, we need to repeal this thing. And you would be a hero of the youth. But you would have to do the exercise and work of explaining it to the older generation, and you would have to buck your donors. And so that's why it doesn't happen on the Republican side. And again, there's these popular issues. You know what I mean? There's like voter ID. There's the E-Verify federal mandate. There's all these things that the Republican Party could do. You could, like, again, legislatively debank.
But they won't do it. And people don't know how mafias work in big corporations. Like, Joe Rogan's talked a little bit about it, so I'll tell the story. All those YouTubes that got banned on Spotify when he moved there was because 60% of the management of Spotify US is trans. So they'll literally poop on the floor, tear out the building, go crazy in New York. The technicians are all in Sweden that run the technical, but the maniacs run that. And so they basically have a veto over who can even come on Joe's show. That's why he left Spotify, and their exclusivity a year ago was literally the trans mafia. Well, forget the trans mafia. That's if you get in those companies, you've got to say you're trans. With the Indians, I'm sorry, folks. 80-some% of the visas are just from India, and most of those are from one little tribe in India, and you're gone, folks. But they're very nice and sweet and don't tell you that, but that's how it works. Let's take a few calls. Mark, you ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, I appreciate all the time. This has been great. Let's go to Chad in Minnesota. You're on the air with Mark Mitchell. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, folks. Just real quick, Mark, back in November of 2025, you were on Alex's show. You basically laid it out for the Trump admin at that time for the missteps and charted a clear path for the president to pull out of the doom spiral, so to speak. With that being said, now that that's long gone and out of the equation, more than likely, with what you said, that hit me like a ton of bricks, and it resonated, and it's exactly a lot of how I feel. Do you feel that maybe J.D. Vance can step into that role, or are we looking at a possibility of just giving up on the Republican Party and maybe trying an independent or somebody that we can shift the funds and get some type of support and have a wave of just the populace? Because, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, J.D. Vance is talking about economic populace. So I'm just curious.
No, I mean, I already said it earlier. I don't know if you were tuned in. I mean, I think Vance gets it and has been consistent. And I think he's the hope. I mean, Rubio's a neocon. J.D. Vance breaks ranks and gamble for power. Mark Mitchell, what do you say?
No, that's it. I don't think he talks about economic populism. I think he is an economic populist. I think he grew up in a poor household. I think he worked in corporate America. He understands this. And, you know, I like him personally. I think he's a man of value. I've met him and talked to him more than I have with Trump. And I'll also say that he has built and run corporations. So when I look at him, I look at somebody who understands the value and power of structure. And if he's who I think he is, he's a person that could put new structures in place, new feedback loops, new incentive mechanisms, because what we currently have is completely broken. Now, it's up to him about whether he's going to run or not and what the polling looks like. I still think he could win, but what I struggle to understand how he could build the structure to be effective so that if he does take office, he's not surrounded by the same people and problems as Trump is. And so that's the issue, is that I wouldn't want that job. I wouldn't want to go up against the deep state and this donor network and all these foreign countries that will use any means necessary to subjugate the needs of the American voter.
Yeah, and you notice Israel's already lined up against Vance.
Oh, ever since that October 29th turning point event he did, where he came out and said, this president is not owned by Israel. Woo! The Israel Times and the J Post did not like that one bit.
Yeah, Chad, thanks for the call.
They started systematically attacking him, and they used the Joe Rogan thing to attack him even more. So the establishment Republican and its interests definitely want Rubio. I don't know anything about Rubio personally, but what I could say is that taking and running a Secretary of State when people are begging for a domestic policy agenda is political malpractice.
I totally agree with you. And look, Vance, I know Vance, you know him better than I. He's the real deal. That's why they attack him with the attack of, oh, he's establishment. Oh, he knows Palantir. They all do. The Israel first people hate his guts even before this. That tells you all you need to know, folks. That tells you all you need to know. Vance is the best thing we got, and that is that simple. Let's go to Sean in California. You're on the air. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Alex. Good afternoon. How you doing out there?
Man, I'm fighting hard to keep a civilization going. I got four children, so.
Great. Well, hey, my question, Alex, is partly for Mark, and then I have another question for both you and Mark. For Mark would be, would he be willing to touch the third rail and do a multiple choice poll for the Vox Populi, for the voice of the public, in which, why does the MAGA base think Trump turned on him? And he could put, you know, different causes, different sources, yes, just to see what the public really, you know, thinks of it. And the
well, they're going to say
is,
he covered up Epstein, he went to war with Iran, and he went soft on deportations. And would that be the answer, Mark?
Yeah, I appreciate the sentiment, and I will try to get to that, but I can't ask that question because it predisposes on somebody that Trump betrayed them. And they're a very small slice of the electorate. So you'd have to ask like a chain of questions, but I think it's totally a valid question. I'm certainly, and I would have no problem touching these rails. I mean,
you can't have the question be the answer. What do you call that? Yeah. Just a distorted poll?
I mean, does Israel have too much influence or not enough influence in the Trump administration? I mean, well, definitely we went there. It's 46% said too much, 13% said not enough. And, 44% of Republicans said about right. Another 14% said not enough. So there you have 58%. So the Republican Party is kind of okay with the amount of Israel influence that they have in the Trump administration. Not all of them, but enough of them that.
And we know it's boomers. We know it's boomers that worship Israel, but under 50, that's not the case. We saw that in the Massey situation. What was your question for me real fast, Sean?
Yeah. And the second one, Alex, would maybe for the real Alex Jones, .com or alexjoneslive.com, you have maybe a weekly poll that maybe Mark can moderate and make sure no one's doing anything screwy, where you kind of put up an issue of the week and how your base of people out there listening to your show can focus our energies on a topic. Like right now, the NDAA and Section 224 and everything you focus us on, we got some traction on that. Maybe we need, maybe people need it, not guidance, but like a hint, or like this is a big issue.
No, I appreciate your call. I mean, Mark's out doing his polls, and we'll do it. I'm not really a pollster, but we'll publish what he has to say and have a moment. Everyone wants to come on. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Van in Arizona. You're on the air. Go ahead, Van.
Hey, Mark. How's it going? A couple quick questions. What percentage of people want a Pinochet-style leader, just a hard right-winger that's going to fix everything that we're going through right now? And then real quick, I want to touch on the J.D. Vance thing that you guys talked about. My opinion, if Vance is the best we got, I think we're screwed. For his job, he had a no-show job. His Rogan interview just seemed fake as hell. And one more thing, yeah. Jay Feely's a bitch.
I don't know what that means, but okay. That was a
So somebody put him up to that. So JD is the best I currently look at the slate from a polling perspective and from a ideological fit for what I think the new conservative movement needs to be. And again, we're going to figure out over the next couple of years what the new conservative movement looks like and if anybody is able to form that into something. But I'm totally leaving on the table that there could be a dark horse outsider that comes in and completely wins this thing. 100%. And I hope that happens because I think it would be a big forcing function in all of these debates during.
I mean, look, all I know is it's going to be Rubio if Israel gets their way. So everybody goes, oh, look, he's at the Wailing Wall. Yeah, J.D. Vance is not anti-Israel. I'm not anti-Israel either. I don't want Israel trying to run our government. It's that simple. Let's go to Dave in Colorado. Dave, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I just wanted to ask, let's say that dark horse starts to get a little momentum and your guest has the opportunity to run his campaign. What should he be saying throughout his campaign? What is his main focus?
Oh, okay, you're not talking about J.D. Vance being a dark horse. You're talking about some other dark horse. So if you had a magical candidate, what would they do to win, according to your polling, Mark Mitchell?
And what are they saying? And then, of course, they need to follow through, but what are they saying?
I think economic populism, anti-war. I think Mark said it all, right, Mark? A vision.
100%. Get the illegals out, increase wages, you know, wring back power from the corporations, bust up monopolies, go after malfeasant behavior in the banking and investment industry. Like we should be doing things like closing private equity loopholes and limiting, you know, the resale of securitized assets. And what I would love to see, what I would really love to get out there is I'm sure that there's economists out there working on a new economic populist capitalism where things like the public ownership of equity are banned. And people might freak out over that, but I truly think that needs to happen because when corporations are privately owned, they're much more risk averse. They focus more on the values of the community. They're more interested in maintaining the everybody's stakeholders. And you don't see all of this corporate globalist slop getting circulated around. I think that equity ownership is one of the major things that completely screwed up capitalism for everybody. So I would love to see.
It's not like even capitalism now. It's a corporate club of crony capitalism, monopoly capitalism, that then socializes the risk and privatizes the profit.
Yeah, and they get what they want. When they are that big, they can get what they can just buy whatever the heck they want in Washington, D.C. Now, I will run zero people's campaigns, but I would advise these people. But basically, it's like run on the Trump things with a little bit more intent and authenticity. Right? And the problem is it like I don't see how an extension of Trump can say, like, no, this time we mean it. Like, I really don't. And so,
well, let me ask you this. Yeah. Like you said, all the money's still on trying to buy Trump and his people, and all the kids of the cabinet members are breaking in millions. Just the insider trading, the sweetheart deals are just biblical in proportion. Do you just this is a question separate from polling. Does Trump realize how destroyed he is in lame duck when they win the House and Senate? Does he have any idea how they're going to come after him? And they're going to blast through those Justice Department letters claiming he can break the law. I mean, this is shameful what he's turned into.
Listen, if I'm a DC outsider and I hear rumors about these things like 8 months ago, then it's real. And I heard that there were multiple congressional Democrat staffers' offices literally working around the clock to build anti-corruption cases against members of the Trump administration. And then they intend to like make this basically a huge, massive show trial. Like, I just really don't know how you finish presidency like that. Because remember, like they were able to confound him quite a bit over just a simple phone call that they recorded and was leaked with Vladimir Zelensky. So like if some of this stuff has real teeth, and I hear that it does, like this is a major problem because he came after the Biden administration. He ran as the opposite of Biden. And Biden, as we all know, was probably purchased by China and everybody else. Right. And some of the stuff I'm hearing makes that look like, you know, like petty street theft. Like it's just it's night and day. And I really
hold on. You've been very gracious. And I got other news to hit. We only got 30 minutes left. Come back, finish what you're hearing. Plus, we see it in the news. And then we'll talk to Julio, and that's it for calls. And Mark, anytime you got breaking polls, you want to come on once a week, five times a week, once a month, you write your ticket. When you got something breaking, you call my producer, you're on. And as we finish the new network studios too, I'd love to, whenever you want to record something, maybe have, you know, a daily or weekly blurb or something for your new site. It is so exciting with the honest polling you're doing. And so we're just really excited about that. Everybody's got to bookmark that right now. We'll put that URL on screen when we come back. But yeah, let's talk about what Trump faces when they take control of the House and Senate.
And a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting that at the, you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatically when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Out on the streets, that's where.
I was talking to Mark Mitchell about what he thinks about Trump and his weird behavior that's getting worse. You know, he gets up at the World Cup ceremony yesterday and for multiple minutes won't leave when the winners are supposed to have their celebration and you know, have their trophy. And then the head of the World Cup comes over, tries to drag him off with a hook. He won't leave. And then Trump waits. And, I mean, that's what three-year-olds do when your parents are watching a football game and you jump around in front of the TV and, you know, I mean, because I would do that when I was a kid. It was fun. I wanted to, act like a superhero, but I was 3 or 4 years old. I quit after that. And we'd go sit down and watch the game and, you know, eat pizza and Cheetos. And Mark brought up other stuff that I've also – Trump said this, actually. He said, well, I heard he wants to – I said, no, actually, he said that. So – I talked to multiple people in the White House and also a big billionaire. It was like a year and a half ago. And he brought it up. He said, no, he goes, you understand. Bill Clinton is obsessed with getting a Nobel Peace Prize. So is Bill Gates. They hate each other because they're in competition for it. And Trump is totally obsessed with it. And then I was talking to people at the White House. They said when Trump didn't get it, he literally threw a fit. And then he did post on X. He tweeted, well, I'll just start wars then since you didn't give me peace prize. And then he went and did it. So, I mean, if you had like a Kurt Vonnegut satire novel about a crazy leader, you'd write stuff like that. It would be unbelievable. It would be fantastical. And I'm not trying to run Trump down, but when you look at the insider trading and the insider deals, you know, $2 billion or, you know, Tajikistan, and, you know, he signs the deal with billions of U.S. government dollars days after his sons are signed on. And I'm not trying to attack him. I know these guys. But, I mean, it's shameful. And then you've got, you know, $2 billion from the Muslims, you know, from UAE and Saudi Arabia or whatever, and that comes over. And then it's all lost, but then they all get all these deals or giving them airplanes. I'm like, well, they gave us an airplane. I didn't know Trump keeps it as his personal Air Force One when he leaves office as part of his new library. I mean, it is no one has ever been this naked. No one. And so but it shows in all the behavior. So talk about the Mount Rushmore thing and then tie this in from what you're hearing on top of it versus the admissions. He gets letters from the DOJ. Like get out of jail free cards. And I know Biden did this where he gave a blanket pardon. Well, Trump, as you know, 3 months ago said, I'm giving the entire administration from the janitor to the maids, to the cabinet members, a blanket pardon. So, I mean, this is like the movie Gremlins or something. And it's after midnight. And they're running around destroying the town. Mark Mitchell.
I think he really wants a legacy. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know him well personally. I think he really wants a legacy, and he will have a legacy. There were a lot of very unprecedented things that happened during the Trump administration. Hard to say what it'll be yet, but it seems to me like he's trying to craft one. And when I talked to him, I was trying to help him win. I was giving him what I thought were very clear, like path forward of objective things he could do to convince Americans that he was focused on their desperate needs. And at the end of the day, I just didn't feel like he was that engaged. And his other meeting, like the one after me, was like rich people trying to give him statues and stuff. And he was talking about Lindsey Graham's golf drive. And it's just like he wasn't engaging in the fight. Like, I don't think he had the fight. And listen, I don't think I would personally be able to go through the things that Donald Trump went through. They put him through so much, you know, like all the convictions and all the attacks. And like at a certain point, I guess it's like, well, he's going to just make his legacy. And that's what I think he's doing. He's trying to make himself and being in an insular environment like Truth Social, I don't think is helping him. Like, I don't think he has the feedback.
Well, let me interrupt again because you're so on target. Again, you're on the show last June or whatever. You say you're in an emergency situation. Everyone's turning on you. Change course now. He could have done it. The vice president sees it, calls you up there, 3-hour meeting. He shows up for part of it. You lay it out. He's like, oh, I got to go be given gold statues and talk about Lindsey Graham's golf drive. You're literally brought in as an intervention to like convince him because they know you're the top pollster. And, I mean, again, we're not, it's like exactly, I'm done helping him because it doesn't do anything. I mean, I remember telling him when he was president-elect 10 years ago, sir, Fiona Hill is on the board of George Soros' foundation. This general is on it. They are your enemies. Obama signed the defense authorization, you know, NDAA, with $2 billion with stay-behind networks. What's that? They put their people in to counter and undermine you. Here's the legislation. And he's like, oh, Alex, you're so great. Let me talk to your wife. And seriously, God, your husband's incredible. You know how great he is? I mean, like 10 minutes, she's got him on speaker glazing me because that's his currency. And he does that. They glaze each other. I'm like, dude, I don't want to be glazed. I want to save the country. Okay. And I mean, I he would get mad at me. He would call me for years. And I would just say, dude, will you stop? I mean, literally, I'm not trying to be mean. Trump will give you a oral blowjob. Okay. A verbal blowjob if you let him. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. People ask like, oh, you're mad he called you low IQ. No, I stopped. They used to call and say, he's going to call you in a few hours and you wait by the phone. Will you take a call from the president? I got where I wouldn't even care because literally it's a robot machine kissing your ass to manipulate you. And I would say, sir, I don't want you to tell me how great I am. You've got enemies. It's like, it's pointless. I'm sorry. Go ahead. And yeah, I'm telling stories I shouldn't even be telling here. But I mean, you know,
that's It was tough, like, especially as a longtime personal Trump supporter.
Did he glaze you? Did he glaze you, Mark? I hear you're incredible, Mark. I hear you're...
No, not at all. I didn't get an ounce of that. Well, because I had been very openly hostile on the internet. I was getting hundreds of direct messages from three-time Trump voters who were literally burning all their Trump hats and 55-gallon drums out back. Like, that's where we were because of all the overt, like, antagonization that he was taking out on his original base at the time. Like, that was the backdrop of my trip. And I don't want to be mean to the staff again because, like, they were listening very closely, and JD, you know, wanted Trump to hear my message, and Susie was listening and taking notes, and they wanted to learn from me. But it's like, what I didn't see was when you go into a major corporation and it's like, this company has a vision. Somebody laid out a mission, and I bet you they know what their quarterly goals are. And I bet you, if you look, somebody's keeping track of how all the meetings tie back to strategic initiatives. And I thought that I would hear like, well, hey, that's a good thing you say that because we're working on XYZ and this is our plan for the next 6 months.
And instead, you found a runaway train. And by the way, I used the wrong term for the meeting. It goes with it. Oral blowjob is what a blowjob is. Verbal blowjob. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't get one of them. No. But I mean, yeah, like I tried. But like just to give you an example, I got kind of mouthy and I was like, you know what? You know, Americans don't like oligarchy. They think that's what the problem is. And a lot of the people you're surrounding yourself make you look like an oligarch. And so you should smash the oligarchy and not be the oligarchy.
No, you said that. You said it on the show and after. A parade of Larry Ellison saying we're going to control you with AI ain't good, sir.
Yeah. It's bad. Like when you bring Mark Zuckerberg, who stole your election, into the White House the very first week of your inauguration, like that is not a good look. And Susie was like, oh, that's really good. I'm going to write that down and use it. But it's like they didn't use it. You know what I mean? Like we're still.
And they don't know, like, to not bring Bill Gates in. They did that, too. Like our arch enemies.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, it's like Batman throws the Joker in prison and we catch him playing golf the next week.
Yeah. And, you know, the ties to Pfizer. Like it just it's all the way down. Just inconsistencies, betrayals. And you mentioned Mount Rushmore, and I want to point out that there's like a couple of like really important people on Mount Rushmore. One of them is former President Theodore Roosevelt, who in some ways had a lot of the same problems that Donald Trump inherited when he entered office the second time. We had a system of plutocracy. We had very strong like corporate overlords. We had people who were hurting and wanted help. And you know what he did was he used the bully pulpit to go after these people. He promised people a square deal. He, you know, went out. He was a trust buster. He went after the corporations. And he got on Mount Rushmore for, like, obviously a lot of things. But I'm just saying, like, it's very symbolic, in my opinion, that it's like, do we really expect Democrats to be pro-worker and anti-corporate in a way that actually preserves our democratic way of life?
No, they're going to give us DEI and Black Lives Matter and communism. And you're right. Yeah. Trump said he's William McKinley. No, you want to be Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah. And we missed, I think, a generational opportunity. But again, I'm very excited about where this goes because Trump's 70% way through his total presidency on Earth, maybe, like, if it doesn't end sooner. But he's like 90-couple percent through his total like non-lame duck presidency, you know, assuming that the Democrats win control of the Congress. And so there's very soon a period where people are going to be desperate for new leadership that is like, well, what do we do now? This didn't work out the way we wanted it to. And obviously there's a lot of very pro-MAGA people and a lot of entrenched interests that are going to be very interested in extending the control of the current movement they have. And so what I think we're going to see is something like, you know, a civil war on the right over the future of the Republican Party. Now, the establishment, we know what that wants, right? And so it's going to be a dark horse outsider who runs on something that looks like America First, but it has to have a very specific economic vision of the future. It has to do something that looks different.
No, I totally agree. So in closing, Vance obviously is the best. I think you already said this. I'm going to put words in your mouth. The best guy. He needs to do more breaking with Trump. In fact, the best thing he could do is really get in a fight with Trump and have Trump really come out against him. I would encourage Vance. He's very tactful. But do you agree with that, A and B? How would he tactfully distance himself from Trump even more right now? He's got to do it now.
there, I mean, that the problem is he's just going to open himself to so many more attacks. He's in a really tough spot. And again, I think he's the best of the people we currently have on the map. But I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing for the health of the future of the Republican Party. It might be a generational shellacking that happens because you have an outsider who runs as an independent and just rubs the Republican Party's nose in their own mess. And hopefully we get through whatever Democrat wave that turns into. And maybe it'll be a sane Democrat who learned from Donald Trump and wants to actually repair the American. I doubt it. But
what
like,
if,
there's
what
a
if
chance.
RFK Jr. and Gabbard ran, or everybody's Tucker swears he won't do it. But what if Tucker ran third party?
I think it needs some. It needs to be somebody that goes after OG MAGA, in my opinion, because we saw RFK run as an independent and he came out really strong because people weren't totally sold on Trump yet. He came out at like a 14-15%. But by the end there, he was only at about 1.5%. And in my opinion, that's not enough to like really inflict the damage that you would probably need to
Ross
inflict. Yeah, exactly. And that would be Tucker. And it would be on like, hey, the American voter needs to come first, or somebody like Tucker. American voter needs to come first. Like, we need to fix this. You were betrayed. Here's what the future of the Republican Party needs to look like. And then that needs to be like calculus. Like, that needs to be clearly delineated set of vision that is not like Holocaustianity plus boomer capitalism plus like they're our greatest doubt. Like, it's got to be very clearly. This is our vision. We're not using the Art Laffer curve anymore. We're not using trickle-down economics. We're
no, doing I agree. Something I agree. What do you think Israel's going to do? The whole world's already turned against them except America and the boomers, but they see the writing on the wall. Like, you know, I was like, we don't need your money anymore. We'll co-own your Pentagon and your weapons. That's not going to fly. Even if they pass it, it's going to get shot down because at least there's still territorialism in our defense establishment. I mean, good luck, Israel. You finally found an enemy of criminals you can't beat, which is the military-industrial complex. Like, Eisenhower couldn't beat him, and Kennedy couldn't beat him. You bit off more than you chewed this time. But what's going to happen to Israel now that they've done this? I mean, they have really gone for broke, and I think screwed the pooch long-term.
They have completely lost their position as the winner versus Palestine in American public opinion. I think it takes years if that comes back at all. But in some of the polls, Palestine actually beats like Israel now. I think in the Gallup poll it did for the very first time. And yet, if you look at the votes on Capitol Hill, the Republicans still vote along party line for Israel. The Democrats don't. They split about 50-50 now. So now I don't know if that's real on the Democrat side, but I think it's fair to say that there's going to be some behind the scenes friction on the Democrats where you have people like Schumer going up against people like AOC, and they're going to be on opposite sides of this. So if I was Israel, that means like lean into trying to do everything possible to make sure the establishment wing of the Republican Party stays in control. I think that that might be a losing proposition, and public opinion is going to turn on them even more because I think their tactics are very inauthentic. Now, then it gets into like, what is their real purpose in Iran? And there's reasons to wonder if they don't just like want to make this one the all out war to end all wars against Iran and because of sort of religious reasons or whatever. Like, I just don't know as a state. I think a lot of that depends on what happens to Bibi Netanyahu and where public opinion is in Israel on him. I have no idea. He's still relatively respected in the U.S. Like, people turned on Israel, not Netanyahu, which is kind of weird. But they are done with this war. I mean, like, the numbers are not good. We asked a very straight up question, and this is bad because a lot of pollsters were cooking these questions with push questions, which is closer to your opinion. The U.S. should end military action against Iran immediately, or the U.S. should continue military action until the Islamic regime in Iran is completely destroyed. Immediate end is 49-35%. So America, by a pretty massive margin, wants this thing over. And Trump's just in a position where he can't. And Israel's in a position where they benefit when Trump can't, but they lose in public opinion in America.
Sure, but what about Ingram at a poll? 60% of Trump voters don't want the war over. I mean, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, like, it isn't. It isn't. Like, you would think it would be higher because of how much of his own platform he's built. Like, this is, people are going to look back at the second Trump presidency, and they're basically mostly just going to see Iran. And you know, 61% of Donald Trump supporters say continue. 26% of Trump voters in 2024 say end it immediately.
Do you think he went with Iran in the final equation to cover up Epstein? Because that's a final question. You know, the Democrats, they've already said they're going to go crazy with Epstein once they get back in with the hearings. And I mean, that this is going to be incredible.
Personally, no, this is conjecture, but I think what we're seeing is sort of like the final plays of a 30 to 40 year long neoconservative movement in the United States that had a certain intentional outcome, and they're getting closer to it than they ever have.
So, yeah, the six of the seven countries they got, so the neocon plan. So what do the neocons do? What do they do if they take down Iran? Now they say they want Turkey.
Yeah. And there are religious reasons why the fall of Iran to America would be very symbolic to them. I'm not a theologian. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Like, again, Iran is a massive local force with a lot of military power. Clearly, even though Trump was getting fed intel, clearly they had some understanding of that, right? And so there seems to be no moderation of their intent to continue to attack regional neighbors. It seems like contrary to what you would try to do as a rational nation. And we're in the Republican Party is currently enabling that under Trump. Like, it's inexplicable.
You think we're still in the war in the midterms? I think we are.
We'll see how bad global energy markets get in 3 or 4 weeks. I don't think we're going to have another MOU and have oil flowing in 3 or 4 weeks, and we're going to see everybody emptying their pockets.
Yeah, for folks who don't know, the strategic oil reserve is almost drained.
And oil's on its way back up. And so will that crush the economy? I don't know, but what it will be is a very symbolic thing. Because if you remember, Trump's second movement really kicked off when Biden screwed up the Afghan thing, so like foreign interventionist mess up, and at the same time, people were putting the "I did that" stickers on all of the oil pumps across America. And so also we have the $2.4 billion that is probably being laundered through Act Blue right now. They got a lot of material on Trump to play on those ads. Got a lot of stuff. And it's impossible to predict how much impact that's going to have on people who, after such a long period of time, were expecting something very different out of this press.
All right, Mark, thanks for the hour and 50 minutes. Incredible. Honest Pollster on X is the new site, thehonestpoll.com, thehonestpoll.com. Look forward to talking to you and working with you a lot more in the future. Congratulations on leaving Rasmussen to not be censored and launching your own operation. Can't wait to cover your information daily. Thank you.
Thanks. Great to be here. Appreciate your help.
Thank you. All right, Harrison Smith's on vacation. They got a great guest host taking over. Rex is hosting tomorrow. I did a great job yesterday with Joe Kent and more. I have my integrity, so I'm not signing on to sweetheart deals and insider trading. I'm not signing on to Epstein cover-ups. I'm not signing on to forever wars. I'm done. I'll still support the good stuff Trump's doing, and there's plenty of it. But my God, this is a disaster. And that's why it's more important than ever. We're on the air. So I got so upset today, I plugged like once or twice. If I plugged every two segments, we'd have plenty of money to span the network and hire the crew and do all this stuff. I'm the problem. Because you guys are great. If I plug twice an hour, buy the T-shirts, buy the sub ones, they're great. We make the money and we do great. I get so upset. It's hard to go, oh, get your shower filter, even though it cuts out more of the poisons than any other filter out there at a lower price. Even though we have the very best methylene blue, if you don't know what that does, people demonize it. It's incredible. It absolutely works. So healthy. We have the widest selection of T-shirts. So many new designs there on the site. It's crazy. I can't do this without you. We got the United States of America 250th year special coin that's got the Jerusalem cross on one side, sesquicentennial on the other side, American Eagle, bald eagle, and American flag. But it's simple. I need your support. I'll keep fighting. I'll keep telling the truth. My audience really is God. I just tell the truth and do everything in front of God. And I just believe you're like me. Everything we sell is whatever I think is cool. And if you got recommendations you want us to sell, we send out surveys every couple months. If you sign up for the email at thealexjonesshow.com, and a lot of the stuff like bovine colostrum and beef tallow, high quality organic for cooking. That's all stuff you wanted. You got it. You guys wanted Shilajit. We got the best. I mean, most of the products there, actually, you recommended. A lot of the T-shirt ideas, you send in recommendations to them. The other stuff I designed. It's all there. I mean, it takes money to win a war. I ask respectfully that you go to thealexjonesstore.com and that you get the products. There's a bunch of specials right now. It's just, like I said, hard for me to even focus on this. Even the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal says we're a total war now. We got the new liquid turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Regular raw turmeric pills are 4%, and they work great. Imagine 95%. How many times stronger is that? Like 40-something times? It's incredible for inflammation in your whole body. We've got every order today and tomorrow gets a free mystery T-shirt, randomly selected by the computer in whatever size you choose. There's so much more. Got new dress shirts, new boxer shorts. I don't mean like underwear shorts, like boxer style cool shorts with 1776 on them. We got the new Hatteras outdoor performance button-up shirt. That is badass. It's so lightweight, looks so good, dries really quick. It's like, I told them to get some dress shirts, and they got this, and I put it on the other day. I was like, God, this is so light and so nice. And I washed it and put it on and went out all day with it and worked in the yard, and like, it was just so lightweight. I was like, this is like magic fabric. You don't know what Hatteras is? I'm like, no, I didn't know. And I looked it up. It's like some big, high-quality brand. So they got a lot of cool stuff at thealexjonesstore.com, and it's simple. You like what we're doing, you want to support us, get great products at the same time, work with those that support your values. It's so simple. Build the economy, build the community. And look at these obnoxious. I call these the white trash line. Look at that one right there. Click on the blonde chick. I mean, look at that. I mean, I came up with that. Exactly. That's the stuff they sell in truck stops. And I love white trash, folks. And I don't mean that mean to white people. It is. I mean, it's got a hot blonde on it with the Texas flag and the rebel flag. I mean, that is so triggering. AlexJonesLive.com. It's just fun. Whatever the left doesn't like, we do it. We got a whole line of white trash shirts. it's all there. You know, they want to have drag queen story time with convicted pedophiles and your kid bouncing on their knee, but we can't show a hot blonde with a rebel flag. And by the way, the South got set up. I'm glad the country wasn't broken up. I've always been clear about that. It's just funny to have the rebel flag, and because it definitely was tough and stood up, you know, and did what it thought was right. We sell the Gadsden flag they want to ban. We sell the Betsy Ross they want to ban. They say it's all evil. So I'm just like, you want to ban Teddy Roosevelt that was a civil rights activist and take a statue down in New York? It's just screw you. We're going rebel flag then. You know what I mean? Because they take the rebel flag and they take everything else. It's like, we got to say, oh, no, this is ours too. You know, want to melt down Robert E. Lee's statue? No. It's just, because then they can melt down George Washington's statue. It's all crap, folks. We got a big tent for everybody, but you got to stop hating on America. It's the best house in a bad neighborhood. TheAlexJonesStore.com. All right, the War Room Live coming up. Stay with us. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if. It's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink's been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.